to the global family about the troop project doing so well. $3,000 raised. Thank you so much.
Amen.
We are excited. We are praying so that we are absolutely responsible
yes.
with the funds that come in and go out to bless these families. Amen.
Amen.
And I just have another, Pastor, mm-hmm. don't kill me. But Pastor Ben prayed over a family today, and it was just on my heart, the responsibility as fathers. When we break that,
that's the truth.
We cannot allow it, family. We cannot allow it, family. If there's something wrong in your head that makes you go after a child, seek help. Seek help because it destroys the foundation of the family. It kills the very pureness of that child. It's already bad enough when it's a stranger, but it's when it's someone that they call daddy that it breaks that trust.
Yeah.
And it's the enemy is purposely doing that to destroy what God has purposed. We have got to understand that. So if that is in you, but no, forget about guilt and shame. We need to get it exposed so we can deal with it. It's the trick of the entity to lock that thing up. So let's begin to expose it.
Yeah.
And if you are not bold enough to, then wife, please, in the name of Jesus, yes. allow the anointing of God to yes. speak his truth through you.
Yes.
So we can break the chains and this generational curses that continue to kill us and to pour in the wrong way. We need to break those chains.
Yes.
And then if it has to go all the way down to the child, Lord, I pray a covering.
Yes.
Lord, I pray a change. Lord, I pray for protection over
yes.
that child so that he or she does not have to be killed by what happened in the family.
Amen.
By the person that they loved and trusted. I pray that it be broken.
Yes.
And I pray that child can see God
yes.
even through the worst trials.
Yes.
Let them see God. Let them see God.
Amen.
That's my prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, I was just.
Our Father, in the name of Son Jesus Christ, Lord, I thank you, dear Jesus, for the word that's going to go forth, dear Lord. I thank you that there's power in prayer and protection, dear Jesus, that we can call on you and angels will absolutely be dispersed. I thank you, dear Lord, that you have spoken to my husband and there's an on-fire word that we must hear today, dear Lord. Let us receive it. Let our hearts be open, dear Lord. Let us grab hold of it, dear Jesus, and allow change to happen. Allow us to be transformed on this day, dear Jesus. Continue to speak to and through him, dear Lord, as we stand with bowed hearts to receive your word on today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, thank you.
Amen, excellent prayer.
Oh, my wife is hanging out with Pastor Ben. She's a prayer warrior now, I'm telling you.
Ooh.
Hallelujah. You know, I always have a little story, so I'm gonna tell it.
Amen.
Okay. After I got saved, I think I was about a year later, I was 18. We had a deacon in the church, and I loved this deacon. He used to always read the Bible. He'd read the scripture before the pastor would come up, and he was very powerful in reading the word. And then he would always see people and greet them as they come in the door and everything. And then, you know, one day I was, you know, walking up Main Street in South Central LA, and I'm walking to the bus stop so I can go to the church and for I think it was a Thursday night Bible study they had. So as I'm walking up the street, I see the deacon, and he has like a cigarette in his hand and a beer in that hand. And I hadn't seen him for like about 3 months. So I was wondering, maybe he went on a trip or something like that. So I was like, hey man, what happened? You don't go to church no more? And he was like, no, I'm cool on that, man. I'm doing my own thing. And I was like, it confused me. I was like, I've only been saved for a year, but how is it that you were deacon just a year ago and inspiring people, and then, you know, I see you 3 months later, and you, and it's like you just completely look like you're lost. And so I always wondered about that, and it just confused me that somebody can live for God so strong, and then after a while, you see them, and they're like, Jesus who? You know?
Right.
And this is what the message that the Lord gave me the other day was concerning the fact that people come to Christ, but when pastors bring them and they and you say a prayer over someone, right? You've got to let them know what they're getting involved in, right? I had a friend of mine went to the Army. He was so excited to go to the Army. Man, I'm going to the Army. I'm going to be a medic. They're going to pay for my school. Plus, they're going to pay me. He goes off to boot camp. I see him 4 weeks later, back in South Central LA. I'm like, what happened, man? I thought you went to the Army. He's like, man, it's waking me up 5 a.m. for a 4-hour run and yelling at me and disrespecting me. I was like, obviously he didn't know what they signed up for. He signed up for free school and a paycheck. And he said, they started talking to me about, should we go to war, da, da, da. And I had to sign papers for who my things would go to if I should die. He's like, I wasn't ready for all that. And I was like, wow. And so what I'm actually seeing and what the Lord was showing me the other day is people come into Christ and they don't realize what they're signing up for. They think like, oh, I said a prayer and I felt the presence of the Lord and I'm going to be a Christian now and I have a church family. And they think like nobody tells them, put on the full armor of God, yeah, right?
Right?
Nobody tells them now you got to, you know, prepare yourself for battle. Nobody tells them that.
Right.
So then once they get out and they start feeling all these battles happening, now they got to make a decision. Is this worth it to be a Christian? People don't like me because I'm a Christian. People having fun and I'm not because I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot. I hear voices at night. Have you ever had this dream where you're trying to say Jesus and something's holding your mouth?
Yeah.
Satan is mad at you. And you don't understand that. See, I did that with a group of about 1,000 Christians. I said, how many of you have ever had this experience? And out of 1,000 people, I think about 950 people raised their hand. You know why? Because once you accept Christ, Satan is like, no, we're going to break this right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you sleep, you at home, you at peace, and all of a sudden, you can't even say Jesus. And you know something's holding your mouth and you just, if I could just say Jesus, I could. And you find you say Jesus, and then it just breaks. Turn on the light because you're scared. I'm talking about me too, you know what I mean? Because we've all had this experience, right? A lot of Christians have had this experience. Once you come into this, you come into a spiritual war. And Satan wants you back. And Satan wants your gift because you just accepted Jesus Christ and now you've got the gift. You got, Satan was there. Do you guys understand that?
Mm-hmm.
He was there. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
He was there. He was in the garden. He was in the presence of God. He knows what heaven looks like. This is no pretend place to him. Okay? And he knows he got kicked out. And then God made this other creature. They're not even strong as me, and he's going to give them what I had on a simple prayer that they believe in Jesus. And he sees this gift of the Holy Spirit come and reside inside of you. And he's like, I'm stealing that. I'm going to steal that just like I stole from Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're in this thing, and you're in it for church. And Satan's in it for war. And if you don't know that you have to stand sometimes, because every day is not a good day in Christianity.
That's right.
Had some days I was flat broke. Talking about but I'm serving you with my money. Say, Lord, like you are serving more than me. You know, you have to go through some things. Sometimes he put me through a test just to see if I trust him. Because God wants to make sure that you learn how to trust him. So you're going to be tested. He don't test you with evil. But you might walk in and they say, you know, we decided to let some people go. And I know you're a born again Christian and think you blessed, but you one of them. And now you got to figure out what you're going to do, right? So now you can either panic or you can say, I know you got me, Lord. My trust in you is in you. I know you've got me. In Jesus' name, go home, read your Bible, and praise his name. And then show God, plant your feet, stand strong, and say, I'm still moving on.
That's right.
So if you don't do that, if you don't understand this is a war, you won't understand that what you've been given is constantly under attack. Okay?
Amen.
So this is the study the Lord gave me. How do you get this gift from God? Romans 10:9-10 says this. If you would confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand, the Greek word for Lord that they use for Lord is a replacement for Yahweh. So when you're saying you confess Jesus as Lord, you're saying I'm confessing that Jesus is God. If you try to confess that Jesus is anything other than Lord, you are accepting the wrong Jesus. You understand? In Islam, they say we believe in the prophet Jesus.
Prophet.
I said, wow, that's, you know, because I was a young 19 and dumb. So to me, they believed in Jesus. I talked to a Jehovah Witness. Well, we believe in Jesus too. They believe he was an angel. God created angels, and God is Jesus, so there's no way he could be what he created.
Right.
So you have to understand, when you come into this, you're confessing that Jesus is God, and God came in the flesh, died on the cross for my sins, died, was buried, raised on the third day, and I'm confessing and asking him into my life. Okay?
Amen.
Now, through that, I receive a gift of the Holy Spirit. Not speaking in tongues, just God's presence, his spirit, living inside of you.
Yes.
And now, you're a church member. Or now, you just signed up for war.
Yeah.
Now, winning the war is not hard, but you have to be willing to die. You understand? You don't go to war unless you're willing to die. And in this war, death is necessary for you to live. So understand what you're in, okay? Man. People telling me things, not people, the Holy Spirit was telling me things that he didn't like about me and things I had to change and die to after I became a Christian, right? And now I'm realizing, because I had never worried about it before. I mean, what's wrong with a little profanity, Lord? You know, before I could curse all day and wake up and get up and curse some more. Yeah, roll your joint and my joint. Next day, I never had the Spirit of God inside of me telling me, this is not right. You can't do this anymore. Now, I can either listen to the Spirit or I can say, I don't hear you. By me doing that, he knows this person didn't sign up for war. This person signed up so he can go to college and get a free check. You're in this for war. And necessary is that you conform to the leader of the army, which is our General Jesus Christ. And he's speaking through you, through his Holy Spirit, getting you prepared for war. Okay? Some of you young, y'all ain't even went through nothing yet. So you're like, what's he talking about? Wait. So that's the first thing. Now, you have to confess that Jesus is Lord. What's the second thing? It says, if thou would confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved, meaning future, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I spoke about this a little while ago. Aorist in the Greek is a type of verb that we don't have in English. Aorist means that what you've just done has become a verb. Okay? So once you confess Jesus Christ, now the Holy Spirit or the God is telling you what you have now done is now become aoros, means that now it's a verb in your life and you have to continue this. If you believe that God raised him, you got to, this becomes a continuation in your life. You're now confessing and you're now believing, but you're doing it for the rest of your life forever. You understand? Let me read this to you so you understand this word. The aoros active is an active subjective verb, occurs 512 times in the New Testament. The aoros tense is characteristic by the emphasis, punctual action, that is, the concept of the verb is considered without regard. The concept of an aoros verb is considered without regard to past, present, or future. It is the conception of something that now becomes a forever active verb. You understand? So when you ask Jesus to come into your life, you have conceived something that now has to take on an eternal existence. Okay? So you can't confess Jesus once and stay a Christian and go back to sinning and still be a Christian. Because according to the way God wrote the words, and he wrote them in Greek and Hebrew, so you will be understanding of what he's telling you. So he gives you a word that says, this is a verb. It is not a one-time confession. It is an eternal thing that has no regard for past, present, or future. It is something that you have now taken on and is yours forever. Mm-hmm. You understand? So we live in confession. We live in belief. No matter what happens, plant my feet, stand strong, right?
Right.
Still living for Jesus, because I understand that I can't go back because I've done something that has put me in the war. You understand? You get salvation because when the time comes, you are still connected to God. You don't get anything if you disconnect it.
Amen.
So you have a responsibility. And that's to do what? Stay connected. Amen. But he's really cute. That's called backsliding and a mistake. Let me tell you what I did one time. I was in a backsliding stage. I was living with somebody. Like, y'all married? Nope. We just sinning. And every day I was on my knees like, oh, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. You know, I know this ain't right. If you get me out of this. Then I married her. Her name was Andrea. But when we first started living, we met, we were living together. And I was trying to come back to Jesus and she was trying to come back to Jesus. And I'm praying like, Lord, please, you know, I know this isn't right. And we're trying to come back to you. We want you in our lives. But right now, she cute. So I went and got me a ring. I'm like, well, I'm going to get engaged and God will know I'm serious. 6 months, I had that ring paid. I'm like, we got to do this, right? Now, look, backsliding don't make you quit.
Right.
Backsliding should make you pray.
Right.
You understand? If you know how to fight, you... Things in life, nothing can make you quit. I lost my job. So what they got to do with Jesus?
Amen.
This is eternity.
Right.
So you let nothing tell you to quit, because what you signed up for is eternity. You understand? And that confession has to be on your mouth when you meet Jesus. Okay.
Amen.
Let's continue. Now, and that word in Hebrew for Lord is Keros, which means Yahweh. Okay. The title given to God, the Messiah. So when you confess in Jesus, you confess in him as Lord. Now, Jesus says this in Mark 4:13. Don't go there, but this is what he says to the apostles. He says, if you don't understand this one parable, you won't understand anything that I'm telling you. He said, you won't understand any of the parables. This parable right here is the most important parable, Jesus says, in the Bible. It's in Matthew chapter 13. Let's go there. Yes. Well, Mark is the other one. It's in three of the Gospels. It's in Mark 4, and then but it's in Matthew 13. So let's go to Matthew 13 first. Okay. Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to start, I think, at verse 3. It says, in verse 3, it says, then he told them many things in a parable, saying, a farmer went out and sowed his seed. And as he was scattering seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up, the seeds that he was scattering. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plant was scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop of 130, 60, and 30 times what was sown. He who has an ear, let him hear. Okay. Now, Jesus tells them, if you don't understand this parable, you don't understand anything. Okay? Because as a Christian, we need to know that the seed that is being sown is the Word of God. Everybody you throw seed at is not going to accept Jesus Christ. Why? Because they don't understand it. Here, let's go to verse 13. Let's start reading verse 13 in the same chapter. And it says here, this is why I speak to them in parable. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fullness of prophecy of Isaiah. And he's talking about the people, the Pharisees. Let me get to the other portion of this where he's explaining. Okay, verse 18. I'm sorry. Verse 18. It says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. The seed that is sown on the path is the one who receives the seed that fell on the rocky place, is the man who hears the word and at once receives with joy, but since he has no root, it lasts only a short time, and when trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceit and a deceitfulness of wealth chokes it, making it unfruitful. But the one who receives the seed that fell on the good ground is the man who hears the word, understands it. He produces a crop yielding 130, 160, and even 30% more, right? So why is Jesus saying that this is the most important parable? Because if you don't understand this, you'll think that once you get saved, you're done. And this is not the case. Because when the seed falls, if the ground is not soiled enough for the seed to sink in, that means that person needs to break up that soil. So if the word of God falls on you and you don't start reading the word and get interested in God and make your soil soft so that that seed can sink in, then it will become a waste. And then you'll go back into the world. And then some of the seed, he says, it falls in. The people don't understand the word, so therefore it's a waste. The birds just come and eat it. So I've got to make you understand this. You understand? I've got to make you understand that being a Christian is not just confessing Jesus Christ and getting baptized. Welcome to the war. Because at some time in this war, you're going to have to fight.
Yes.
And sometime in this war, you're going to have to do some things. Sometime in this war, you're going to have to see the enemy coming and stand ground. So you have to understand what the Lord wanted me to tell you today. This is a war. It's not over. I know we're waiting for the rapture, but I'm watching people being deceived all the time. Got all of these false prophets and all different ideas about the Bible. And I have to read this because, here, let's continue. Let's continue. Because this is really something. Now, okay. We're still in chapter 3, right? And we were reading chapter, because I wanted to get to chapter 24. No. This is the scripture I wanted. This, I'll just say the scripture. It says, the scripture says, consider carefully what you hear. He continued. Jesus tells him, consider carefully what you hear. He continued, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you even more. So he tells the apostles, be careful what you hear. Okay? A proverb says, be careful, guard your heart. You understand? For what goes into you is going to make a course through your whole life. So if Jesus is telling them, be careful about what you hear, that means you can't listen to everything. You can't hear every preacher because you're trying to weed out the lies and bring in the truth. You got too much to distinguish between. So you can't just open your spirit up to the world of YouTube. I got 27 pastors and they all on YouTube and they all have a different opinion. You're just going to be a confused Christian, right? So God is saying, be careful what you listen to. Guard your heart. I told you before, your relationship with Christ is not my responsibility.
Right.
When you're on judgment day, God is not going to say, let's get Pastor Sandy's opinion. Hold up. Hey, Sandman. No, we're close like that. No, it ain't going to happen, right? Huh? That verse right there, consider.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's in Mark chapter 3, chapter 4, verse 13. But it might be in Matthew. Let me see if I can read it. Okay. I want us to go to Colossians right now. Colossians. First Colossians. Just Colossians. First Corinthians. I sound like Donald Trump. He's like, turned to Timothy 2. I was like, he don't know the Bible. Nobody calls it Timothy 2. Okay. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, it says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish, free from accusation. What's the first word in verse 23? If, big word. Know what it means? It means what I just read to you is now predicated on what I'm about to tell you. Mm. You understand? So you've been called out of the world, free from sin, the promise of eternal life. It's all yours in Christ. Then he gets to 23. If, what does it say? If you continue in your faith, mm-hmm. established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. Okay, so your salvation is, listen to this. Your salvation is this. You were alienated, okay? You were an enemy to God before, but now you've been reconciled to God by Jesus Christ's physical body through his death to present you. Now you are holy in his sight. You have without blemish, right? Even if you sin, you can confess your sins and still be clean again. You've got all this going for you. Without blemish, free from accusation. Satan can't even go to God and accuse you of anything. He's like, well, my blood paid for that. Mm. Get out of here. This is all yours. If I was writing the Bible, I'll say, and plus you got a home built for you. You have eternal life in the kingdom, a millennium to be with Jesus, a horse to come back and conquer with Jesus. I would name all the beautiful things that you have coming to you. Then I would go, if. Mm. If what? If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. So this is not about, I came to Christ, okay? Satan's big thing is, you can be back in the world. You can forget about Jesus. You can listen to the music you used to listen to. You can neglect God. You can do all of this. And don't worry about it. You already accepted Jesus back then, right? Mm-hmm. And so you think that you're still connected to God. You understand? Mm-hmm. But if you're not connected, then you don't have life. And if you don't have life, then you're no use to the kingdom and you're no use to God. Now, so I say, well, that's kind of cold for you to say, Pastor Sandy. I'm going to read Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. It says, now, my brother, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand. You've taken your stand in the gospel. By this gospel, you are saved. There go that word again. If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you will have believed in vain. So God is telling you, you can believe in me and then you can disconnect yourself and all your crying and your baptism day and your all your pictures and la, 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 la. Look at me. I used to be a Christian. He said, you've done all that in vain. Because what? You never continued in Christ. Mm. You put your Bible down. You put your prayer life down. You put going to church down. You put everything down. Why? Because you're saying to yourself, I can still be a Christian and not be connected to God. You got a refrigerator with no electricity. What's the use for it? Huh? What's the use of it? Just sitting there, big old box in your house. You might as well be a big dresser, right?
Right.
It ain't doing nothing. You've got to stay connected to be of any use. Mm-hmm. You understand? Okay.
Amen.
This is the Lord's message, so listen to this. Do we earn salvation?
No.
Okay. Salvation comes by faith in Jesus Christ, right? Mm-hmm. That faith is a gift from God. He gives us eternal life as the gift for believing in Jesus. Anytime you receive a gift that has value, you have to do what? Take care of it. Okay? So now you have to take care of your salvation. It's yours. It's yours to keep. All you have to do is take care of it. What if you neglect it? I don't need to put no oil in this car. I don't need to put no gas in this car. I don't need to put no coolant in this car. I just need to drive.
Yeah.
I don't even need to wash it. How long you gonna have that gift?
Not long.
Not long. It'll be a fire on the 405. So understand the value of a gift, okay? Did someone give you the car free? Here you go. This is your car, absolutely free. Take care of it.
Right.
That's all God's saying. But it's worse for us because we have an enemy that is trying to steal it every day.
Yep.
You know, bought all kinds of stuff to keep him from stealing it. And he's trying to steal it every day. And God is letting you know, once you accept Christ, there's someone coming and he's going to try to steal it. I wish somebody would have told me this when I was young. Because when I was young, I just thought, I'm just a Christian now and then. I remember going to God one day and saying, I can't do this. I'm not like those people. I can't do this. I like girls. I like parties. I ain't doing this no more. And I told my friends, don't call me a Christian no more. I quit. Quit what? You know what happens to people who quit? You don't just go back to civilian life. This is a different war you didn't join. Quitters go to hell.
Yep.
Do you understand that? Before you came into this, you were on your way to hell. When you came into this, everybody celebrated in heaven over you because you were no longer on your way to hell. Now God is saying, fight the good fight of faith. Stay in the race no matter what happens. What if something tragic happens? What if I have a death in the family? Stay in the race.
Amen.
What if it looks like there's no hope? Call out to Jesus.
Yes.
Because I'm telling you, no matter what you're going through, there's one person that is watching and who has not let your hand go, knows where you're at, and is holding your hand even though you're crying that very moment. And all you got to do is call out to him and say, continue leading me. And then you'll find that that moment is history and you're praising God again.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Or you can quit. And if you quit, you're done. Because you've let go of the only hand that was protecting you.
Yeah. Amen.
Let me finish with you.
8 minutes, Pastor.
5 reasons. You can neglect God, okay? Neglection is one reason that you lose your salvation. Neglect. What do you neglect? I neglect reading my Bible. I neglect praying. I neglect anything that happens to do with Jesus. When's the last time you read your Bible, man? Oh, I don't know, man. I haven't read it in a while. Well, aren't you hungry spiritually? You look like you're starving. You have to not neglect the Word of God. You need to be in the Word of God. Okay? The next reason people, they resist the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tells you something, but you want to do something else. Like, psst. You know what the Holy Spirit told me today? I ain't doing that. So you start neglecting the Holy Spirit, right? So the next right thing happens, you fall away. Now you're like, I don't listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm neglecting the word. I've fallen away. Okay. Now you live in a deliberate, willful sin. Now you despise the grace of God. And now listen. The scripture says, study to show thyself approved. Let me tell you something. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. It says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. I'm going to read it again. We must pay careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, that we do not drift away. Do you get snatched away? No, it's a slow drift. You understand? For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also testifying to it by signs and wonders and various miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So he's saying, listen, be careful and attentive to what you hear so you don't drift away. You work out? Anybody here works out knows that all you got to do is neglect it for a short time, and then it's a mess again. Next time you work out, you're all sore like it's the first time ever. And this is the same way it is with God. You don't neglect it. You wake up every morning and you do what you have to do because it's your responsibility as a soldier. Put on the full armor daily. Study the word daily. Be in communication with God daily. Are you enjoying your relationship with God? If you're not enjoying it, you're not involved in him. Involve God in your life. Draw closer to God and he will draw closer to you. How do you draw closer to God? I'm in my word. I'm studying. God is revealing things to me. I'm praying about things. I'm waiting for them to be manifest. I'm doing things because this is an active relationship. God says he wants you to ask for things. You know why he wants you to ask? Why he tells us to ask? Because it gets him involved. If you don't ask, how are you gonna know? God wants you to ask for things. It's like, get me involved. I dare you. Lord, I want a job I enjoy. All right. You got to be ready to get fired, though. <He's> like, see, that happened before. You know, Lord, if I had more, and this wasn't me, this was a friend of mine. I'm praying to God, man, I'm praying for God to give me a better job. And he said, I prayed that prayer for 2 weeks. And then I walk in and I get fired. What kind of God is this? You led me to Jesus, Pastor Sandy. He said, I get fired. Now my family, we don't have no money. 2 weeks later, got a better job. The Lord blessed me with a better job. I'm making twice as much. I said, you could have said that the first day you got fired. You could have just stood at your feet and said, let's see what God does. But I'm trying to tell you guys, everything's not going to be easy. We have family death. We have getting fired. We have disappointments. We have all of these things. But God says, look, nothing can separate you from me. You can't say, okay, now I'm not going to be a Christian. Okay, now I'm going to start neglecting God because this happened, because that happened. No excuses. You stay plugged in, or else you're just a big box in a house. You got to stay plugged in.
Amen.
5 minutes back. That is good, because I'm on my last page. Now, watch this. My sheep follow me, Jesus says in John 10, verse 27 through 29. They will never perish. No one can snatch them from my hands. A lot of people that believe that they can never lose their salvation quote that to me. But it says no one can snatch them out of his hand. But if you ain't in his hand, you already disconnected yourself. Yeah, you can get snatched away.
Well, amen.
He said those that are in his hands.
Right.
Okay. If you unplug yourself, because unless Jesus forgot what he said, he goes to verse 15 of the same book of John. And he says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is like a dry branch that is thrown away and cast into the fire. So Jesus is telling you, if you don't stay abide in me, you're going to dry up and then you're going to be like a dry branch. I'm going to just have to throw you into the fire. So the same God that says no one can snatch them from my hand says you better stay connected though.
Hmm. Good word.
Someone said this to me. I am convinced, Romans chapter 8, verse 37. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor power, nor heights, nor death, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. But what if you ain't in Christ? See, because you missed the little words.
Yeah.
All of that goes to you if you're in Christ. If you're disconnected, this doesn't go to you. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I'm not going to read Deuteronomy chapter 28, Pastor Ben, but I think that every Christian should read Deuteronomy chapter 28.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy chapter 28 is it's the law, and God calls it, he said, this is the law of blessing and cursing.
Oh,
did you guys
yeah.
know it was a law to oh, blessing
yeah.
and cursing?
Yeah.
There's a law to it.
Yep.
You know there's a law to gravity?
Yep.
If you jump off this roof, you're going down. The law doesn't change. It doesn't change if you didn't mean to jump. It doesn't change. You understand? Deuteronomy chapter 28 says it's the law of blessing and cursing.
Yes.
If you read the whole thing, it's going to tell you. If you are no good, weed smoking, sneaking around, trying to sleep with anybody, cursing is going to follow you,
yep.
and is going to catch up with you. And then if you read the Hebrew word, it said it will embrace you,
yeah.
but it uses the word like a tight grip. Okay? So if you read this whole chapter, he says, if you be living disobedience, cursing will follow you. Will it get you on the first day? No, it's following you.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a criminal before. You're following people, right? Because
right.
you're like, they're disobedient. It's just a law. He's disobedient, so I'm following him. Mm-hmm. This is what cursing does to you. It just starts following you. Because he knows what you're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
His name is cursing. He knows what you're doing. You got away with it 10 times. But he's been following you. You understand?
Sure.
Listen, guess what happened? Don't just always guess what happened. Guess what happened follows a pattern of lifestyle.
Yes.
And then it's guess what happened. You understand? When it catches you, it said it will grip you and it won't let you go.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
Read Deuteronomy chapter 28. Because it says the exact same thing for blessing.
Yes.
If you live right, take your stand in Christ, do the right things, say no to sin, stay on the course. It says blessings will follow you.
Yeah, same thing.
Amen.
And it says it will continue to follow you until it catches up with you and it will grip you and it won't let you go.
Won't let you go.
This is what you do. Of what you get when you walk in obedience to God. This is what you get when you stay connected. You don't become a dried up branch that has to be thrown into the fire. You want to be useful to God, so God says, stay connected to me. I am the root, you are the branch, stay connected. Right?
Yes.
If you stay connected, you're useful. If you don't stay connected, you become a dried up branch, and the only thing God can do is throw you into the fire. Listen, salvation is free. It's a free gift. What you do with the free gift is your gift back to God. I want to thank you and praise you for what you've done for me. I want to live for you. I want to make proper decisions when it's decision time. Because we're all going to get decisions.
Yeah.
Zoe, you're going to get a decision. Because he's going to be cute. Zoe, listen to me, girl. You're going to have to make a decision one day, right? Somebody, how you doing, girl? You're going to have to say, are you born again? You got Jesus? Do you love Jesus more than you love me? Because if you don't, you might be making a problem here because I ain't got no time for you.
Amen.
You understand? You're going to have to make the decision. Now, God is in heaven going,
right.
Way to go, Zoe. That's my girl. Right?
Right.
So understand, God is not, he's not separated from you. He wants activity in your life on a day-to-day basis. It's what keeps you grounded, what keeps you in him, and it is what will keep you blessed if you stand firm through all situations. I don't care, I'm still with Jesus. I don't care, I'm still with Jesus. If you stand firm, you will see the fruit of obedience. Praise God. Amen.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Hallelujah.